I don't want to go too long, but I really, I just felt to share with you guys on discipleship. I'll try not to go too long, so please bear with me. Now, the discipleship is the intentional way of living so that we can grow closer to the person of Jesus, and then through that, we also teach others to do that, to become like Him. Okay, so that is basically discipleship. It is the intentional process of following our King and getting to know Him more. Now, the problem is if we only build towards a thing of making sure that everything is done right, we can actually miss hearts. Now, Jesus built intentionally. Jesus built into the guys personally. And He is the one we follow. So we should do it that way. Amen. So Matthew 28, 19 to 20 says, therefore go and make disciples. Now this is one of the last things Jesus ever said on earth. Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now discipleship happens in many different ways. There's different ways to disciple people. Okay, so you have teaching, what we're doing now. I'm teaching. So in this, we are basically, I'm starting to impart into you something that's biblical and showing you more of Jesus in that. This is part of discipling, is teaching. Then we have training times, the deaconship training. That's part of discipleship. Okay, then we have physical ministry like we had now. You have moments of prayer together. And all these things are actually shaping our hearts. It's molding our minds and equipping our hands for the work of the ministry. Now, Ephesians 4, I've read this many times and I want to read it again. Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Okay. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people. Huh? How amazing is that? To equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such a unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord. That's beautiful, eh? Measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Now, what the scripture is not saying, it is not saying it's all about the gift. So Annalene's birthday is the 16th of August. You guys did put it down, eh, in your calendar. So if I buy, when I buy a gift and I place it on the table in front of her, it's not like we're all standing around the table and singing for the gift. We are basically presenting the gift to her because we're celebrating Annalene on her birthday. The problem is Christ gave gifts to the church, and what church has done over the years, they made it all about the gifts and not why the gift is given. So when I give a gift to Annalene, I give it because I love her. And I want to celebrate the life. I want to celebrate the fact that Annalene is with me. I can't put the gift down and celebrate the gift. So God has given gifts to the body for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. That is why gifts are given to the church. It's not about the gift. It's about the people. That's why God has given this. It's like, I'm giving you tools to build. But don't make it about the tools. Okay. The default is to make it about the tools. Because a gift is sometimes something that's shiny and beautiful. And then we make it about that. But that's dangerous. Because we can actually create idols amongst ourselves through the gifts. Like when there's a very, very strong prophetic gift, you can actually make that an idol. When a guy like Mervis comes here, he is such a gifted guy. You'll see even when Nadine comes, sometimes we'll only want to, which is normal in a sense, but we'll only want to come around Nadine all the time because you're hoping she's going to give you a prophetic word. Huh? And it's all about that, but it's actually about Jesus and his bride. And Jesus says, I want to draw the bride closer to me, so I need to put these things in place so that they can come closer to me. That's beautiful. Now, the discipleship I want to quickly talk about this morning is one-on-one discipleship and the importance of that. Okay, so Jesus, you all know that he was part of creating the universe. Jesus created everything with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Okay, so being God, Jesus, coming to earth, only chose 12 disciples. So Jesus only had capacity for 12 guys that he chose. He created the universe, which is quite amazing. Obviously, there was a lot of followers. There was a massive group of guys that went with Jesus, but Jesus chose 12. Because he knew, through this 12, I will build my church. I will start building my church, which is amazing. And he made it personal. So Jesus was all about the relational side and building into each other's hearts, living in the light. Because if he had 400 disciples that he chose, it would have been very difficult to effectively walk in the light. Because you can hide. So Jesus knew, I need to build very specifically and very intentionally into these 12 guys to make sure I get to the bottom of their hearts. One-on-one discipleship. And it's very difficult because one-on-one discipleship makes space for personal correction. That is so much fun. Intimate accountability, that's amazing. And obviously, spiritual growth through that. So I want to ask you guys, if you're sitting here, who is discipling you now? If you can't think of a name immediately, with one-on-one discipling, you're not being discipled one-on-one. Scary, eh? Think of this. If you can't immediately think of a name who's discipling you or who you are discipling, then you're not doing one-on-one discipling. And I'm going to explain to you the danger of this now. This is why we started communities, so that it's close and more intimate and so that we can make sure that everyone's being looked after. Because it's impossible to get to 100 people, one person, or two or three. Okay? So group teaching is amazing. This is necessary. Okay? But without personal discipleship, you can hide and actually stay unchanged. You can do everything the group is doing, but you still go home the same. Nothing's changing. And yes, you can get encounters from the Lord, and yes, you can grow to a certain measure, because God is amazing. But for us to grow intentionally and relationally, we need to be intentional with one-on-one disciples. Now, it's dangerous because how do you decide? How does it work practically? How do you decide who disciples me? How do you decide that? So I'll give you guys practical tips on how I do it. This is not a guideline according to the word. This is how I do it personally. Okay? So usually the Lord will lay certain guys on my heart to disciple. Now when I go to Peter and I say, Peter, I want to disciple you. Peter can't just say, yes, disciple me. Peter needs to make sure who's discipling him. And how do you identify who should disciple you? Do you get what I'm saying? Am I explaining it correctly. Okay. The person who you will submit your life to need to be able to bear good fruit. Otherwise, you'll become like them. Okay, so Matthew 7, 16 to 20 says, you can identify them, this was Jesus, by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. So it's quite easy to see if someone bears good fruit. It's not difficult. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. When we are being discipled by someone, make sure that they bear good fruit. Otherwise, it's dangerous. And also, they need to be able to speak the truth in love. They need to be able to speak the truth in love. Because we sugarcoat a lot of things. Ephesians 4:15 says, instead, sorry, I'm jumping very quickly, but you are very fast. Well done. Okay. We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more like Jesus, who is the head of the body, the church. So I had three guys in Cape Town. It was Mervis, Joe, and Lucas. So Mervis was the guy that always connected my heart with Jesus again. I got a lot of clubs because I had a very messy life. And then Mervis would always be the one that's, the Lord loves you, Anton. You're doing so well. Jesus loves you. Mervis was that guy. Whenever I had a coffee with Joe, I need to go to Mervis. Because Mervis didn't say, I went to Joe once and I sat the coffee. And I said, sure, Joe, I'm tired. I'm working really hard, eh? And he said, what do you want me to do? It's did you not want to work? Why do you come and complain with me now? It's like, no, man, lift up your head, you got work. Go and work and make money and pay your debt. I was like, okay. I went to Mervis. Mervis was like, Jesus loved you. You're doing so well, Anton. Well done. I know you're tired, but the Lord will give you strength. Well done. Then Lucas was there to help me disciple, help me to build into people. But all those three guys always spoke the truth in love. Some a bit harder than others. Okay? Joe, if you listen to this, I love you. Just so that you know. So there is this thing of speaking the truth in love. And very often, if you don't understand discipleship well, you will really struggle to accept the truth in love. Real discipleship will offend you. Because someone that disciples you actually shows you where you lack Jesus and then point you to him. So what they are actually doing is they're showing you what's not from Jesus. And then they point you towards Jesus. Speaking the truth in love. So it's not hammering all the time on the bad stuff, but identifying the things that's not reflecting him. I had a list that my laptop doesn't have enough space to store it all, of things that I had to correct in my life. But they didn't throw everything at once. It was beautiful how they've done it, gently and in love. But they spoke the truth. And they should walk in integrity and humility. That's very important. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. But also Paul said, I intend to know nothing but Christ Jesus being crucified. He had such humility. And you know, Paul was really a man of stature. That's why people followed him when he persecuted the Christians, because he was really he was educated very well. He was a good businessman. He was just a man of stature in town. But still, and then eventually when he gave his heart to Jesus, he said, I intend to know nothing but him and him crucified. It's beautiful, eh? The humility. So when people disciple you, they shouldn't lead you to them, but to Jesus. You always build away from yourself. You know, it was so amazing to be in Zambia and to see that you guys had such a good time here. It was almost, I was a bit jealous. It's like, I received photos, I was like, oh, why do you send me this now? You know? Now, it was beautiful. It is beautiful. If I only lead the guys to do things around myself, I will never be effectively working in the kingdom, because everyone will rely on me to do things. But we are a priesthood of believers. So the moment that you build away from yourself and towards Jesus, then that's actually effective building. Okay. You'll often find when people have insecurities, they will build towards themselves. This is my followers. Pity you, my follower, eh? Not Lens. Justin, you're my follower, eh? If I do that, it's not biblical what I said now, guys, but if I do that, I do it because I find my identity in people following me. So you need to make sure who disciples you. It should be someone that tells you the truth. Okay. So the heart is not to make our own disciples, but to make followers of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 to 7. This is Paul. I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. So when you disciple someone, you need to allow them also to go and drink coffees with other people. Otherwise, you'll feel, why are you my disciple? Why do you go and drink coffee? The problem is something that I did is I did it because the one guy spoke, he corrected me on something, and then I run towards the other guy and I don't tell him on what I was corrected. And then I spin the story a slightly different so that I'm not being corrected. Huh? Yeah. I know it's only me, guys. I know you won't do it. But because I was trying to avoid correction, I was trying to avoid the truth. So then I would go to Joe. Joe would clap the smoke out of me. Joe would say to me, you need to repent. You can't kick your dog, man. Yes, see. Why do you do that? I was like, because the dog dig holes in the garden. Now you kick the dog. No, man. And he used to tease me a lot about my Afrikaans culture because he's a colored. Yeah, you Afrikaans burkies, you're so proud. Eh? You want to kick everything. You want to. I was like, Joe, come on, man. And then I would run to Mervis, and Mervis would, I wouldn't say everything to Merv, so Merv doesn't know. And eventually those three guys got together and they were like, oh, is this what's happening? Okay. And then they all three met me for a coffee. And that was fun. Okay. So it is fine to drink coffees with other people, but it's very important to understand accountability. If we really walk in accountability with one another, say, for example, if Justin shares something with me, or Pete shares something with me, Munya shares something with me, and I share it with the elders, it shouldn't even bother us. Because we're in accountability with one another. We're one body. Okay. Although within health, what I'm saying now, it should be within health and submitted to one another. What I'm not saying is when someone comes to share something with me, I'm going to share it with everyone. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is when we submit our hearts, so say for example, Munya comes to me and Munya says, Anton, I did X, Y, and Z. Then I'll say, Munya, would you be comfortable with me sharing it with people? Because I need wisdom in this. Can I submit this to the leaders? And then he says yes. And then I have his permission to do that. Yeah. So, now, your posture when you are being discipled, okay, it should not be a passive attitude. So, I served the Lord, I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 15 years old, okay. Then, I only got discipled the last 5 years really in my life. You know why? Because I've always waited for my leaders to come and disciple me. That's not right. Say, if I am being discipled by Pete, I need to run to Pete all the time. To say, Pete, I have an issue with this, what would you do? And Pete would disciple me in that. So how it worked in Cape Town with Joe, because I messed up with business so bad, there was a season in my life where I phoned Joe every day of the life. Every day, each and every day, about decisions I need to make. Because I knew I can't trust myself anymore, now I need guidance. So I had to run towards the discipleship. Because otherwise we'll sit in the benches and wait for someone to come and disciple me. We need to run towards it. We need to want it. Okay, the reason is, because if I come to you, so this is actually what I do a lot of times. I would feel something, someone on my heart to disciple. I would go to that person and say, listen, Rory, I feel I want to disciple you. This is what it will entail. This is what it will look like. Are you open to that? Then Rory might say, can I go and pray about it? Which is okay. It's really fine. After he prayed about it, he will come to me and says, you know what? I really feel I need to be discipled by you. Then we understand one another. I'm not begging him so that I can disciple him. Because if the leaders run after you, you will run further away. That is why we need to run towards it. We can't be passive in discipleship. Okay. We should seek out accountability. We should be, you know, the scripture says that we should make every effort to walk unity, to walk in the unity of the Spirit. Discipleship is one of them, one-on-one. One-on-one accountability. That's so much easier. We need to be open and honest. We need to be vulnerable. All those lekker stuff. Okay. All those lekker things. Share about everything that's wrong in your life. And then they look at you. Lack of accountability often reflects the fear of being known. Lack of accountability often reflects the things that you don't want to share everything. You don't want to bring everything into the light. We are called to live in the light. It was so beautiful when you brought it this morning. I prepped on it, man. Well done, Tracy. Listening to the Lord. Okay. So when you don't want to walk in accountability, it's usually because you are afraid of living in the light. You do want to hide some things, and sometimes that's caused by hurt. Sometimes it's caused by church hurt. You don't want to share those things with the church because the previous time you shared it with the church leader, they messed it up. Oh, that happens a lot. That happens a lot, guys. But the reality is we need to put our faith in Jesus and trust that He did it, so we need to do it. Okay. I want to jump a bit because I'm going to go on too long. How much time do I have left? Another 10 minutes? When we resist one-on-one discipleship, we limit our growth. You can grow without one-on-one discipleship. You can really grow. God is amazing, guys. But if you want to grow effectively, submit your life to one another. You'll see growth. Dion, you guys are a very good example of that. You know how excited they were to send their boy to America? You know how excited, and then God said, no, they shouldn't. And then it's like, speak the loving truth, speak the loving truth, speak the loving truth. And it was so difficult to put the spanner in the works there. They submitted their lives, and now their boy is fully in love with Jesus. How beautiful is that? They could have said, because I didn't tell you guys what you should do. I told you guys what I felt in the Lord. And they decided to submit themselves to what the Lord is doing. And their boy, that will affect his life in eternity, your obedience. You know that? You know the power of submission when it's seen in the right light. That boy's life, that young man's life, is totally being transformed at the moment because of submitting his life to someone. There's a beauty in it. Authority has just been abused. That's why we're afraid to do it. Okay. But even I myself walk in accountability with the leaders. If I mess up, they tell me. They need to tell me if I mess up. If I do anything that's out of lines, people need to tell me. I'm a human. Only my wife is perfect. I need to score brownie points there. So this is what happens when there's not effective one-on-one discipleship. Hebrews 5, from verse 12 to 14. Now, this is what happens, exactly what happens when you're not accountable and submitted your life to one another. Okay. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. I was in Josh Den. We joined Josh Den in 2013. I really opened up my life in 2019 for discipleship. Only then. And then the Lord started using me. So you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. Now he's speaking to believers here. And it's like, why do I still need to feed milk? Because by this time, you need to eat lekker and yama, like big one. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and does not know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong in their own lives. Okay. There's seriously a beautiful thing when you start seeing that in a beautiful light. Like when I mess up now, I want to run towards it. Because I've tasted the fruit of it. It's beautiful when there's accountability in your life. There's so much safety in it when it's done right. Okay. I'm not going to read that. So, I just want to run quickly through what is the fruit of someone who is fully open to being discipled. Okay, this is now the fruit of what you will see in their life. They will walk in spiritual maturity. They will walk in spiritual maturity. You'll start seeing them do things that's like, wow, I did not expect that. They reproduce disciples. When guys are open to really effective discipleship, they will start to disciple others as well. Not the one guy. Second Timothy 2:2 says, okay. Second Timothy 2:2, that's it, okay. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people. We'll be able to pass them on to others. How beautiful is that? You know how healthy that would be when we all walk in the light. What does the end of that scripture say? We'll all come to the full maturity in Christ. I forgot now. You can take that scripture out. I want you to read that scripture again. They will live in humility and accountability. You know, when guys come on to leadership in church, you know how accountable they need to be with their lives? Everything needs to be in the light. Everything needs to be in the light. Nothing can be in the dark. If Pete comes to me and he says to me tomorrow, Anton, I want to see your budget. I won't say to him, why? I'll say, yes, of course. Come, I'll show you everything. I'll even show you what I spent my money on last week. Because it's not mine. Everything I have is the Lord's. And I understand accountability, so I'll do it. I'll do that now. They will become like Jesus when they are being discipled. You'll see guys who are discipled, they are usually planted, they're not drifting. They're not drifting everywhere. They're rooted. There's a solidness in them because they actually start to understand their identity in Jesus Christ. You know, ultimately that is what we should do. If you don't know your identity in Jesus, you'll find it in everything else. And then you'll start drifting around. Because everything will move you. When you're rooted in Jesus, persecution may come. Eh? You know that the church at the moment is being persecuted. You know 412 has been persecuted. A third documentary made about 412. A lot of false accusations. Guys, I know because I was there. The things they are saying is not the truth. I don't even want to encourage you guys to look at the documentaries. Because if you're not rooted in Jesus, it will shift you around. It will shake you. The funny thing is the guys that say it, they're not even part of 412. But Jesus said, listen, when you follow me right, you will be falsely accused. That is the truth. But you see how it works when the identity is not in Jesus. Will start drifting very quickly. And when someone are being discipled, they will be bold and fruitful in ministry. You'll start seeing certain guys start stepping out, being bold in ministry, being bold in community, being bold in to share. Dion is always bold to share. Dion is so bold, you need to hold him back a bit with a leash. Like, Dion, whoa, my brother. But there's a thing of, because he's been discipled. He's been discipled. There's stuff on his heart that's been chipped away. Iron sharpens iron. I mean, a lot of the things that were spoken into Dion's life wasn't like, oh, Dion, you're just doing good. It was like, Dion, no, you need to lay down this. You're not that person anymore. And then you'll start seeing the fruit of that. I can use him as an example because Natalia is shaking her head. Okay. just read that scripture again for us. How beautiful is that? We'll have fellowship, guys. There will be unity amongst us if we all walk in the light. If nothing is hidden. You know, in the early church, when they walked in the light, just after the Holy Spirit was poured out and there was such a unity among the people, they start selling their property, giving the money so that it can be dispersed between the people and no one had lack. God was so present there that when someone, a very wealthy man, came to give money, he just lied on how much it is. So listen to this. He still gave most probably a lot more than everyone else. He just lied on how much it is. That's all. But there was such a unity. God was so present that the Holy Spirit struck him dead. How scary is that? When we all come to that fellowship, God will be so present here. The fear of the Lord will come. There will be blessing when we submit to one another. So I want to encourage you guys.